You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings race up the floor. Still going to launch a transition three on the way. It's off the back of the iron. Heel grabs it, but runs out of time. This ball game is officially in the book. For the 11th consecutive time in Sacramento, the Clippers have had the Kings' numbers. Tonight, the final is 121 to 115.
Welcome in and happy Friday as we are glad you're joining us here on another edition of Locked On Kings. I was hoping and hoping and hoping we'd be talking about a championship for the Sacramento Kings. You know what I'm talking about by now, the Linear Championship. It's something we've had fun with on the radio. A lot of people were getting behind it at the arena on Thursday night, and the Kings were playing for it. They honestly will have another chance at it on Saturday, but to win it at home would have been fun. And I know some of you that don't know what it is by now, I will explain it one last time, hopefully. But it was fun. It was a fun night at Golden 1 Center. Kings fell short. We will talk about that game on the podcast. We will talk about the Linear Championship. We will hear a reaction from the Kings players and coaches, and then look ahead to the Clipper game tomorrow, Saturday, right back at it, against the Clippers at Staples Center. First, we'll start with what was so exciting about the night, the Linear Championship. Why this is a thing. Here's a quick recap of how this became a story. And I love that Coase and Doug Christie even talked about it on NBC Sports Bay Area. Damian Barling and I every day on the Lowdown talk about it. It's become kind of a silly thing. We've had fun with it, and we were just on a full all-out quest for the Sacramento Kings to win the Linear Championship. And how it happened, if you remember when the Kings beat the Golden State Warriors maybe a month or so ago now, we had either a caller or a texter. I can't remember how it originated, but one of the two on the radio program that said, "Hey guys, you beat the champs, you're the champs, right? Kings are the champs, they beat the champion, Golden State Warriors." And we said, "Well, yeah, you know, good concept, funny thought, but if you're doing it that way, you have to do it the right way. And like in wrestling or a couple other things, you beat the champ, you become the champ." So we said, "Well, let's do that. Let's make a linear championship from the start of the season to the end of the season and see where it goes, see what kind of path it has." So this was after the season had been going a little bit. So let's go back to the beginning of the season. Golden State Warriors are your champions. Do you remember opening night of the season? Before the Kings even opened the season, the Warriors did. They opened up at home against the Rockets. Well, they lost. So the Rockets, in theory, then, were the linear champions. Rockets, what happened in night two of the NBA season? They were here at Golden 1 Center to take on the Kings. So we didn't know it then, but the Kings were playing on the first night of the season for the linear championship. Played well against the Rockets, lost, and so on. So then you follow the trail until Houston loses. So here's how it went. Warriors opening night to the Rockets. Rockets to the Grizzlies. Grizzlies had it, gave it to the Mavericks. Mavericks lost it back to the Grizzlies. Then the Hornets. Then the Spurs. Bucks. Mavericks. Celtics. Heat. The Cavaliers had it in November, took it over into December when the Kings went to Cleveland. So the second time the Kings were playing for the Linear Championship was in Cleveland. Kings played great. Jakarr Sampson was nice in that game. Kings didn't prevail, so they didn't get the championship. Then you move on to the Pacers in December, beat the Cavs, then the Thunder, the Knicks had it, the Hornets, the Raptors, the Mavericks, not a great team. They've had it three times. So you're following the path. When will the Kings have a chance to play for it? You just don't know. Well, then the Warriors got it. After beating the Mavericks late in December, they got it in January. Warriors were hanging on to it until a couple of nights ago when the Clippers broke the streak of 12 consecutive losses to the Warriors and beat them. And who were they playing the next night? Yes, last night, the Sacramento Kings. So it just seemed like fate. They're going to be able to win and beat the Clippers and get the Linear Championship. It's just for fun. It's become a thing. And we'll keep following it the rest of the season to see if the Kings can ever get it and how many times will they play for it. So that's the third time they were playing for it. Ironically, they're going to have the fourth time they're playing for it Saturday because the Clippers still have it because they beat the Kings. It would have been nice to obviously beat the Clippers, to have it for a day or to brag or so. But they'll have a chance on Saturday to still get the Linear Championship. So there's the backstory. There's what we've been talking about, and there's what maybe some people were referencing. Feeling really good that the Kings were going to be able to do it. And if you think about how the game is going before it even laid out, Blake Griffin is playing. Teodosic is playing. Second night of a back-to-back. I'm like, oh boy, things are starting to go against the Linear Championship thoughts here. The Clippers jump out to a big lead. They score 100 first. Remember Ralph Lawler, their longtime television and radio voice, more so TV. Lawler's Law, first team to 100, wins 94% of the games. At least that's in Clippers history. Are they going to be able to get the championship, break Lawler's law? All these things were going on. It just seemed like fate. But unfortunately, the Kings could not prevail, and they ultimately lost to the Clippers 121-115. Here's a listen back how it played out on Thursday at Golden One Center.
Here is Lou Williams off the bounce, hits another three. He was defended by Garrett Temple, but it didn't make a lick of difference. It's an 8-0 start for the L.A. Clippers, and David Yeager is going to take a timeout. Outlet goes to Bogdanovich, cruises into the front court, surveys the clock, balances the floor, takes the dribble behind a Costa pick, now attacks the baseline, goes up and under for the reverse, no good, put back, Costa! Costa Koupas followed it up beautifully, and he got rid of it just a tick ahead of the flashing red lights around the backboard. Scalabissier mishandles the ball, turns it over. Here's the alley-oop, and a behind-the-head reverse flush thrown down by Montrezl Harrell. Biggest lead of the ball game for the Clippers as a consequence. They're up now by 14. Lou Williams sets up DeAndre. Oh, hammer spike, but he hurt himself. He falls. I think he got on somebody's foot. He gets up very gingerly. Clippers aren't fouling. Now they do. I'm amazed there that they let it go. Jordan hasn't moved. He did stand up, but he's just hunkered down, and he's having a hard time with weight on his left foot. Zach Randolph at the top of the arc. Looks and finds Bogey. Comes off the curl. Sets up the alley-oop. Big conversion. Willie Cauley-Stein. Kings fans love it. And we all do when the Kings execute like that coming out of a timeout. Lou Williams loses it. Grabbed by Garrett Temple. Kings have numbers. 3-on-2. Set up the alley-oop. Willie Cauley-Stein delivers again. Terrific push with numbers. And Garrett Temple with a nicely placed pass above the rim for Cauley-Stein to finish. 85-81. Here's Williams feeling it for three. Score another one. He is just a scoring machine. Last year, he averaged 17.5 points a game. Former sixth man of the year, playing with his sixth team. Randolph rebounds, gives to Bogdanovich. He's playing with five fouls in the front court. I want to see him shoot that. He is shooting it, and he's scoring it. Bogdanovich has a career scoring high of 20 points. The Kings run a 15-2 run with 4:51 to go. Clippers call timeout. It's 108-107. Bogdanovich hitting his fourth three-pointer. The Kings making their eighth in 24 attempts. Got this crowd on fire. Bogdanovich on the right wing. Bogey fakes the three, enters on the bounce to Zebo. Isolated against Blake Griffin. Looks for a cutter. It's Bogdanovich to the rack, and he scores. Nice pass. Zach Randolph, timely cut. Bogdanovich. Bogey has a career-high 22. 12 have come here in the fourth quarter. Clippers in the driver's seat. Here's Lou Williams, so dangerous on the perimeter. Drives, double clutch, lean, scores it as time was running out on the possession. 117-114 Clippers. It's another 30-point ball game for Lou Williams. Teodosic gives it up to Williams. Bumped by Fox. They don't call the foul. Now challenged by Temple. Throws it away. Costa Koupas has it. But then his pass is stolen. Breaking to the basket. Two-hand jam. There's your dagger. The Clippers are probably going to extend the winning streak off of first fortuitous great defense by the Kings, but then the throwaway. Costa trying to feed it cross court, anticipated by Tyrone Wallace, the rookie who got the breakaway flush. That makes it 119-115 with 10 and a fraction seconds remaining.
Well, it truly was a fun game, and give you some of my recaps of the way the game started. Kings, as you heard earlier there, down 8-0 right away. So a terrible start, chasing the game, a phrase I like to use. But Kings just didn't have the same kind of defensive intensity that you would expect or need to win, certainly in the first half. They had 6 turnovers in that opening quarter, gave up 29 points, had a really rough quarter going, and finally at the end scored a little better to pull within 8 at 29-21. Second quarter, it didn't get much better for the Kings. They just kept giving up points. The Kings scored at a great clip, scoring 39 points in the second quarter, but lost the quarter, giving up 43. And what really hurt them in that quarter was way too many easy baskets for Montrezl Harrell. A backup big man scored 16 points in the quarter. It was nearly the most points the Kings have allowed to anybody in a quarter this year. The high was the Greek Freak. Giannis had scored 19 in a quarter against the Kings. Then it's Montrezl Harrell with 16. What looked to be a turning point in the game, 5 minutes left in the second quarter, DeAndre Jordan gets that great jam, puts him up 53-41 on a lob, but lands and hurts his ankle. He did not return, though there was some, we watched him at halftime, thought he might come back into the game, but never did. Willie Cauley-Stein at the moment had 0 points. Then he got a lot of inside hoops. Zebo started to get some more hoops, and it felt like the game was changing. But every time the Kings were getting a little closer, Clippers would hold them off. And so Sacramento trailed 72-60 at the half after giving up a season-high matching 72 points for a half. So then we take it to the third quarter. Kings, again, make a run. Here they come, chipping away at the game, getting it to 85-83, a two-point game. You're like, all right, here comes Sacramento. They're going to get the lead. They're going to win this linear championship. And then the Clippers extended again, finished the quarter on a 15-6 run and lead by 11. Clippers scored the first couple of baskets of the second, the fourth quarter, and they started that quarter with Williams, Lou Williams, and Blake on the bench, and extended the lead to 106-92, under 11 minutes to go. So you're down 14, crunch time. You got to start getting hoops. Then the Kings went on a run. They start chipping away at it, pull it a little closer, get to 108-107 with 4.5 minutes to go. Take the lead after the timeout. Lose the lead. Get it back. 111-110 with 3 minutes to go. Lose the lead again with 2.5 minutes. Take the lead back. 113-112 with 2 minutes to go. Give up a Blake Griffin three, so they're down 2 points. 115-113. That's when George Hill got fouled. Made one of two. 115-114. Lou Williams makes a difficult shot, making it 117-114, and then that was the sequence that really became interesting. George Hill got fouled. He made one of two again. And remember, he had been really good in the game, really good from the line, but two big misses there in the closing 2 minutes. 117-115, 23 seconds left. Kings had to get a turnover. They got the turnover on a kind of a haggard play by the Clippers. Kosta Koufos got a steal, and then trying to find his point guard, threw the ball away. Clippers get a dunk. And it was a wrap. Unfortunate. I would have loved to have seen how that game would have gone if they got it in their hands and just see what they would have tried to execute. A two for the tie, a three for the lead. Instead, the great comeback falls short. So now the Clippers have beaten the Kings 11 consecutive times in Sacramento. That to me is just surprising how much they've done that. Looking at the stats of the game, Clippers get 30 points from Lou Williams, though they made him work for that, 24 attempts. And he was hot early, cooled off, then hit a couple big shots late. 25 unexpected points for Montrezl Harrell, 11 of 12. 18, 12, and 6 from Blake Griffin. And then Teodosic, I just thought, made some big plays too. 10 points and 9 assists in his return. For the Kings, they shoot 49%. A good night from the line, 23 of 28. 23 assists, that number's okay. And they had a lot of guys contribute. 22 career high points for Bogey. 21 from George Hill in his return. Zebo knocked down 16, Willie 12. Kosta Koufos had a great game until that turnover, but it was his only mistake, really. 14 and 14, first double-double of the year. Buddy added 14, just all in a losing cause. And again, it was the defense in the first half and not quite executing late in the game as they lose at 121-115. Here's Coach Yeager after the game.
You know, I'm happy that the game finished as close as it was. You know, it can be tough to lose close, but, you know, we fought back and, you know, they had a chance to, you know, be up on us by 30. So we got to start games and play with a lot more effort, a lot more aggressiveness, a lot more motor. Those things are what makes defensive players and defensive mindsets. And so we did not do that. We put ourselves in a big hole and had to play from behind the whole game. And, you know, I'm proud of our guys. I think, you know, I just told the team, Coastal's had five terrific games in a row, or four out of five. I know it's three in a row for sure. Sometimes that stuff happens at end of games and you got to wrap your arms around your teammate and love on them because they're going to feel like, you know, terrible. But he was one of the guys who put us in a position to even be that close. So, you know, we just all love on our teammates.
When you look at the first half, Coach, and giving up 72 points, obviously your offense was going, but what were the issues you were seeing specifically on the defensive end?
Well, just guys just looking at us and shooting it over the top of us and guys looking at us and driving it middle and, you know, not checking out. We had two free throw box outs where they got the rebound on Harrell, I think, who wasn't a great he doesn't have a terrific shooting percentage, but you should, you know, have an idea.
What did you see from George Hill in that second half? It seemed like once he kind of got kicked low, he went into a different gear for him.
He was just a little bit more aggressive, and I think his pace was better in the second half.
Can you also talk a little, just you mentioned Costa a minute ago, stringing a few games. That was his first double-double tonight. What have you just seen of him all year? I mean, I know it's not up to maybe what he would expect from himself, but what have you just seen from him all over?
It's tough to play as, you know, generally second center the way the game is, and he's been a pro. Sometimes his minutes have come and gone, but he's got experience. He's got a motor to rebound. He sets great screens. He runs the coverages that we need to run most of the time, and you know, sometimes the game gets going fast, and you have to, you know, oops, I missed on that one. And that's just human, but he's an absolute pro, and, you know, his teammates have a lot of respect for how professional he is, how he carries himself on and off the floor, to and from games. The way that he goes about his business is entirely professional.
Well, I think coach's points are right. I mean, they fought back. That was good. That's commendable. Had a lot of guys play well. Costa played well. Bogey's in a really good stretch here lately, too. But they got to start better. Play with that stronger motor. More sense of urgency. More aggressive. And they have to really get after these games and not let the game get going until they get going. And did a good job of coming back, yes, but no need to dig themselves that large of a hole, down by 16. And it was just such tough work to come back. How about from Costa Kufis? Really good night for him off the bench. As Coach Yeager said, tough to play two centers in this present day, but they did. And Costa gave him good numbers. 14-14, had an assist, had two steals, had a block, had the one turnover that he ends up talking about here quite a bit with the media, but here's Costa.
You know, I give credit to the Clippers, and they play hard. For us, you know, we just tighten some things defensively, you know, from a big standpoint. And, you know, for us, you know, we just got to continue to play hard and keep pushing through. It's just simple as that.
What do you see the most improvement needed for you guys?
You know, I think we are improving every day, but at the same time, though, you still got some ways to go. You know, the vets, I feel like the vets are doing a great job of, you know, trying to lead the young guys. The young guys are continuing working hard. And for us, so we just got to keep chipping away day by day, and that's it. Don't look too far ahead in advance and just look for the next page, turn the page for tomorrow.
How tough is it to have one or two little mistakes down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, it's just tighten up, you know, on my part of, you know, error. But, you know, that situation, you just got to keep pushing forward.
What were some of the positives you've seen out of you guys over the past week or so?
I think, you know, we're playing a little bit more aggressive. By the same time, though, it's, you know, we just got to stay consistent and just stay with the path.
How do you guys find the balance, you know, and that's where you are scoring, but still figuring out how to still keep the defensive intensity the entire game?
I feel like, you know, defense does translate to our offense, and we are improving. You know, we still have a ways to go, but at the same time, though, that's what's so unique about this team. We got so much talent in this team from 1 through 15, and that's once we pick it up and get together, you know, we're going to be very dangerous.
Tonight was your first double-double of the season. What was just working for you, I guess?
It all may not right now. You know, the most important thing is a win, and, you know, unfortunately we didn't come out with a W, and that's the biggest thing.
That play on the turnover, what did you say?
It was an error on my part. Just tying it up.
Well, not only did Costa Kufis play well, you had Bogdanović playing really well, too. And here's some numbers for Bogdan Bogdanović over the last five games. Almost 16 points per game, 4.5 assists, 3 rebounds, 55% shooting, and 50% from three. So Bogey really is playing well, and they're getting production out of him as a starter, as a bench player, just in a really good stretch, just more comfortable. You can just tell. Looks like he belongs, and he's just getting more and more comfortable with his teammates, with the NBA game, and the Kings are getting good results out of that. Now, the Kings and Clippers will play again, obviously, on Saturday. We don't know about DeAndre Jordan for tomorrow, whether or not he will be able to go, but encouraging the way the Kings rallied in that game, but they're going to have to do a better job on several guys, certainly in this case, if they're going to want to win that one. Now that the Kings have hit 41 games, they're at the halfway point. I think it's interesting that they're now disappointing 13-28. We know there's a few games in there that they've let get away, and there's also too many games that have been non-competitive. But just doing some numbers looking at last year at this time, not much better. 16-25, so only 3 games better 1 year ago at this time at the halfway point. Also, I forgot to give these results yesterday, and I was reminded of that today. So the Locked On Kings J-Ross Draft. We do Draft Wednesdays on the Locked On Network, and we extended our league out to 8 teams this week, and thank you for everybody for filling it up. And I'll just kind of do a recap. Team 8 in the draft. Again, Get the Draft app. Go to draft.com on your computer if you want to play. I'll set up a league each and every Wednesday on the Locked On Network. You pick two guards, two forwards, and a center. Nobody can have the same team. It's a draft. So, for example, Team 8 that came in last, Space Cowboys team. Thank you for playing. Had Eric Bledsoe, Donovan Mitchell, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Karl Anthony Towns. This is from Wednesday's games. Team 7, Nate Washburn's playing with us again. Victor Oladipo, Spencer Dinwiddie, Trey Lyles, Aaron Gordon, and Andre Drummond. Boxy Jeep usually does a little better than this, but they finished 6th. Kemba Walker, Lou Williams. They had Lou Williams on his 50-point night and still didn't win. Giannis, Trevor Ariza, and Clint Capella. Team 5, Jared B's 52's team. Chris Dunn, Dennis Schroeder, Kevin Durant, Tobias Harris, and Marc Gasol. Team 4, Matt Mentos finished in 4th. Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Kent Bazemore, Sabonis, and Jokic. Team 3 joining us from the Raptors, Locked On Sean's team. Jimmy Butler, Bradley Beal, Michael Beasley, Kristaps Porzingis, and DeAndre Jordan. Team 2, the team that finished 2nd. Hey, that's me. Look at that, from Wednesday. Russell Westbrook, Tyreek Evans, Lauri Markkanen, who had a big game for me, Paul George, and Yusuf Nurkic. I had 65 points from Westbrook total with his points, rebounds, assists, steals, and then Markkanen at 54. So big days for them. Tyreek was good. Not so much for Paul George and Yusuf Nurkic. And Team 1, Real Murph Dog 916. John Wall and Drew Holiday. Wall got him 62. Harrison Barnes got 44. Otto Porter and DeMarcus Cousins was enough to win. This week we played for some cash, and Murph took home $24. That's how it works. Nice and easy, nice and fun, and simple. So hopefully you get in next week, Wednesday, on Draft. That's it for us for this week's edition of Locked On Kings. These weeks are these days of shows. Another week is wrapped up. We'll be back again next week for more editions. Thank you so much for listening to us here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.